Whoa, baby! Whoa, baby! Juicy Smell It was just hit with 16 counts of felony charges today, folks.
Oh.
16 felony counts.
But
wow.
He's a victim.
That's a heavy book, man. They threw the book at him.
That's a homophobe book.
Right. They're
persecuting Juicy.
Yeah, right. Poor guy. Poor guy.
Yeah, I checked the volume. You know, I turned the mic off so it wouldn't play back and squeal.
Uh-huh,
and I checked the volume
on the playback.
On the site, nice and loud.
Good.
Music, you seem to have all the problems fixed, Eli.
Yeah, it's taken a whole year.
Happy.
It is about the time of year in 2018 when I began having all those technical problems with the old computer, right? So I bought a new computer, but that one had a bad motherboard. And so I had to ditch that computer, right, and get a replacement.
That was a bad mother.
Yeah, that's right. And so and then I had to reload everything. I mean, it takes a while to load all the programs that we have to use to do these live shows. And then, of course, reload everything on a new computer, all the programs on the new computer. It takes a lot of time to do that.
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah,
that's why I have several computers, and I have everything I have on these great big RAM sticks.
Right. Yeah.
So I can unplug them and plug them in a new computer and download. Boom.
Yes.
Done.
Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay, and then...
I learned a hard lesson after our sites were taken down.
Right.
And we lost everything. We try. Oh, they won't do that. Well, yeah they will.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, once burned, twice learned. I've got everything backed up.
Right. So. Yeah. What's that? Once bitten, twice shy. That's the expression we have up north.
Know out there, the third book of the quote unquote, I hate to use this term, Old Testament, is almost complete. I'm all the way through to Ezra. I have the book of Nehemiah, which I'm going to do tomorrow. I'll have that scanned and printed, and then I'll do the two books of Chronicles. And then that'll be done, and then I'll have everything done, Genesis all the way through Chronicles in the writings. And I'll have that by the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, pardon me.
Right, yeah.
Been working hard behind the scenes, folks.
Yes,
and then
yes.
The whole, quote-unquote, Old Testament, because it's all one Testament, but the older section of the Testament will be complete.
Yeah.
And I'll have all three books offered. I have two of them offered now. The third one will be coming up here within a month, so...
Okay, well...
What I've been doing. If everybody wanted to watch, Steve isn't on the computer very much. Well, that's what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm not sitting around drinking beer and watching football games. I'm working. I'm working.
Okay.
But we've got where we're going to be reading from. Eli posted that in the chat. And you can scroll down, and we're going to begin at the section right above the ancient Scythians. It's called the Legend of the Tural Hawk. So that's where we're going to be starting tonight. And hello, 7 and 9, and Brother Abair, and all the rest in there, True Biblical Israel. We're ready to rock tonight. Now, I'm in a great mood. I have no pain for once in a long time. I've really been sleeping with my feet up, and all that ankle problem is abated. So, taking all my medication, quote unquote, except it's all natural products, and I'm really feeling really great. Getting a lot of walking in. We had a big snow here. And I've been sitting back while I'm working, listening to all the great shows. I listened to Fireside Chat just a little bit ago, and it was outstanding. And the whole bit, the whole day has been a good day. So let's rock, Eli.
Right. Okay. All right. My Skype is acting up today. I'm not able to catch messages from other Skypers, so I'm just going to leave that page. I don't know why it, you know. Okay, there it finally appeared. All right. But I'll just do very little on other people trying to Skype me, because this is a really outstanding article, and it concerns the origin of the Hungarians. All right. You want me to take the first first paragraph
here?
Well,
I've got it up.
Okay, go ahead.
If you want to do the first section, go ahead, buddy.
Okay, here we go. We had talked about, what was the above one? Not the legend of Tura. Two legends. The legend of the white stag. We talked about the legend of the white stag last time. And because the history of the Hungarians is based on these two
talking
legends.
Talking about the legend of the white stud. You know,
right?
Well,
yep.
Never mind.
The second account is the legend of the Turul hawk. That's T-U-R-U-L hawk. A mythical bird identical to the Sumerian Dugud, D-U-G-U-D. D-U-G-U-D. That is the emblem of both the house of Attila the Hun and the house of Arpad. This story is about Emesh, a Sumerian princess that was sterile until the Turul hawk came down from heaven and gave her fertility. I don't think I've ever heard that myth before. She was married to Ugek, the king of Scythians. Okay, here we go. Here's the Scythians. Now, what we've been saying, just to bring people up to speed, last week in part one of this series, we basically stated that the Hungarians are Indo-Aryans. Okay. Indo-Aryans that moved up from India, probably through Iran and into Scythia. Scythia would be inclusive of Iran, the area north and east of the Sea of Aral, which is a smaller sea also east of the Black Sea, okay, would be the steppes of southern Russia, okay? That's where these people are from, including the Scythians. So it sounds like the Indo-Aryans were pushed out of India for whatever reason. It went north and merged up with the Scythians. That's what it sounds like to me. Okay, let's continue. In agreement with the Assyrian Chronicles, that report, Magog is the founder of the Scythian nation in northern Mesopotamia. Okay, now this is before these. This makes the Scythians the sons of Japheth. Mm-hmm. And Magog is one. This is way before. This is maybe, I would say, at least 1,500 years, actually more like 2,000 years before the creation of the Khazar Empire, okay? The Khazars had not yet come into existence. They came much, much later. Emesh convinced Almos, the same name as Arpad's father, that was a descendant of Attila the Hun, and in her dream she saw her descent as a river flowing from her womb that was growing towards the west, passing over the mountains and from which a great golden tree arose, representing a royal lineage of kings ruling in a faraway land in the west. This story recalls the dream of the Mede king Istumegu, or Astyages, concerning his daughter from whose womb he saw spring a river that flooded the earth. And in a second dream, he saw a grapevine growing from her womb that became a mighty tree that covered the continent. These dreams were interpreted as a royal line from his daughter's offspring that would have built an empire, though dethroning him. The parallelism between both legends is amazing. Indeed, there is a relationship between ancient Medes and Hungarians that will be exposed later in this essay. Okay, why don't you take the rest of this
section? All
right,
the Medes were originally known as the Madai.
Okay.
Okay, they changed it, they anglicized it to Medes.
Okay.
Madai was the nation and Madai was the people. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's Madyar, there it is. That's
okay.
Madai. Okay.
The characteristic aspect, pardon me, of the story that credits the actual Sumerian origin of Magyars is that Almos is described as a dark-complexioned and black-eyed, namely a Cushite. His name means dreamer, since according to the legend, he was conceived after his mother's dream. Well, dark-complexioned and black-eyed. There were two Cushes, Hebrew Cush and Indo-Cush. He was probably from Indo-Cush because they are a little more swarthy. Hebrew Cush was all really white people.
Yes.
And that's where Moshe was king when he fled from Pharaoh. He went to Hebrew Cush. And he really led those people well, but he would never consummate the marriage with the queen because they were pagan. And that mm-hmm. really angered her, so they eventually just kicked him out. They didn't, right. didn't try to kill him. It said, look, you got to leave. You don't worship our gods. You got to go. Bye.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Okay, well.
People yeah. get the two Cushes confused. They try to say Cush is Ethiopia. Where the Negroes live now. Incorrect. That mm-hmm. they were Nubians. They never were part of any of the Hebrew cultures. If they would have gone into Mitzrayim, which is the kingdom of the Hamites, they were killed.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, after the Hyksos took over, who were Edomites, basically, Hittites, they allowed the beginning of the assimilation with the blacks and others, and that was the downhill slide, and eventually real Israel left Egypt, and Egypt became what it is now, which is a messed up racial soup.
Right, right.
And it took a long, long period of time. That's another whole story, but I want to give you a little bit of background here so you don't get right. these people confused. Oh, he was a Cushite. He was a Negro. No.
No.
He was not.
Yeah.
I want to nip that in the bud. I've studied all of this, okay, so I can add a few things that may not be in this particular article, but give you the benefit of my right. education.
Yeah, and and the expression here, dark complexioned, all that means is it had a dark tan. Because these people, India is a hot place, folks. White people go to India, and they get a dark tan
white,
real fast.
I am as white and as pink as it gets. But when I was a young man, I would work out in a T-shirt doing outside work. And my face and my arms and the rest of me got really dark tan.
Right, redneck.
And then I'd take my shirt off when I went home.
All right.
And I looked
And your chest was lily white. I know.
Just gleaming white.
Right.
And that's the formation of melanin to protect us from burning.
That's right. That's right. Yes, very
that's
good.
Yahweh's design right there.
Yes.
All right. Even though the most widely accepted hypothesis regarding the origin of Hungarians has been the Finno-Ugrian theory, promoted mainly by Austrians for political reasons, the fact that Hungarian legends have an indubitable Mesopotamian origin and that Magyar language has been proven essential to decipher Sumerian writings.
Wow.
Needs research in a different direction.
Neato. Neato.
All right. Well, the Hebrews migrated all through that area. India was not always little brown people. Okay. Mm-hmm. The Brahmins were from Abraham. Abram, they called Brahmins. They were followers of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where the name Brahmin comes from.
Right.
They are not today what they were back then. Everything has changed. You can't apply today's demographics to the time period and the population of these days that we're talking about now. Everything was different.
Mm-hmm.
Cuneiform writing was also found to be used by the Hungarians long before they entered the Carpathian Basins. Mm-hmm. Carpathia. Dracula. Right. However, language is only one of the elements to be considered, as there are others more relevant, like cultural features and spirituality of Hungarians, that show remarkable differences from Ugro-Finnic peoples and place them unexpectedly closer to ancient Middle Eastern biblical peoples.
Very good. Well, very
good. Yeah, they retained a lot of the culture. Same way German has a lot of Hebrew mm-hmm. in it.
Right.
Welsh is almost straight Hebrew. We can't deny our history, but the enemy is denying our history to mm-hmm. erase our heritage.
Right. Yes.
That's the whole plan. So we're exposing this and getting people up on where we came from, all these different tribes, and now we're all gathered together. But we need to know our past.
That's right.
So it is no longer right. lost.
Now, by the way, I just came across a book entitled Who Were the Cimmerians? And just glancing through it, it really bona fides Christian identity. It really does. It's a huge book.
We've got all kinds of backup.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll send you a copy of that, but it's a full-length book, so we might just take pieces out of that, okay, when we actually get to...
Well, if it's a full-length book and it's worth anything, I'll print it out.
Oh, okay.
And right. then I'll have it in my little archives that I have here, a little reference. I'll put a good cover on it, and I'll label it.
Yeah. Yeah, eventually we'll be printing these books.
I've got all these little books that I can get, you know, off the Internet yeah. that some of them are pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to have our reference material. I can share it with people, bring it to some of the meetings and stuff. And everything's going to change this next December, folks, when I'm totally free and I can get out of here and I can go to meetings and mm-hmm. go around the country and speak. And
Right, raise hell for
I'm
who knows Jews.
The kingdom. That's right. The other guys.
Yeah, okay. Raise heaven. There you go. All right, please continue. All right.
A recurrent characteristic that is found throughout Hungarian history is the duality within multiplicity. There are always two main components assembled in such a way that they constitute a solid unity, complementary to each other, like male, female, black, white, north, south, east, west, consisting in two ethnic unities that vary from one period to another, resulting in the complexity that has generated all the different approaches and theories about the origins. This duality, expressed in the first legend through the twins Hunor and Magor, figures of the most representative ancestors of modern Hungarians, namely Huns and Magyars, existed since the very beginning. The first pair were Cimmerians and Scythians.
Okay.
Since there is an interdependence between both components, before going on dealing with the Cimmerians and their evolution, it is necessary to consider the Scythians in order to have a comprehensive view of the whole picture.
Okay, so I'm curious to as to how he will describe the Scythians, because that's a concept we're very familiar with, and you know, we have been teaching for decades, really, in Christian identity, that the Scythians are a combination of Javan and Israel, or the Scots, okay? That's where the word Succoth. What Succoth is the tents, cities that the Israelites and probably other Sukkot, Hebrews.
They were brush shelters.
Yes. Okay.
Because it didn't rain when they were out in the desert all the time. Very little rain. So the brush shelter with some leaves and stuff at the top of it mm-hmm. were sufficient, and it let some airflow go through, so they didn't roast.
Right.
So.
Right. Okay. The ancient Scythians, as I have written in my essay about the Eurasians, it is not easy to define who the true Scythians really were, since such term has been used with reference to different peoples sharing outwardly similar characteristics. Yeah, it's probably more of a territorial term. This confusion is mainly caused by Greek historians who were fond of creating myths and fanciful tales about the Middle Eastern peoples that they did not understand properly. A clear example of the eccentricities ascribed to the Assyrian king Sardanapalus, that indeed he never existed. Mixing together some actual historical facts related with four kings, Ashurbanipal II, Ashur-etif-ilani, Shamash-shumukin, and Sin-sharish-kun, but refer to, I mean, these are clearly, I mean, these last couple are clearly Sanskrit. These are Sanskrit names. But continue.
Yeah, Eli, I challenge you. Say those five times as fast as you can.
Rubber buggy bumper, rubber buggy bumper, rubber. But referred as belonging to one king alone and adding a series of oddities that were not typical of the Assyrian character. Here, I have to interject here. My understanding of the Sumerians is that they were primarily an Adamic kingdom. But they had non-Adamic slaves and workers among them. But as is typical of the Indo-Aryans, namely the descendants of Abraham, or Abram, because they were sent east before his name was changed to Abraham, right. that they are Adamic. They're all Adamic. But they had, you know, they had slaves of other races, okay? Ultimately, this slavery led to some race mixing, but the vast majority of the people didn't do that, and it was common in these days for peoples of different races to have wars, you know, and then a little bit of slavery would occur as a result. But continuing, even the name of Sardanapalus is a distortion that may have more resemblance with Ashurbanipal or Ashurbanipli, that reigned a century before and whose name was just Ashurdan, meaning Apal or Apli, likely added to some, by some chronicler. So when quoting the Greek classic historians, it is convenient to have in mind that they are not quite reliable when dealing with non-Hellenic matters. The Hungarian scholar Gyula Mezáros remarked this fact, quote, "It is a common fallacy to call Scythians Iranians based on the fact that the Greeks continued to use the Scythian name long after the disappearance of the northern Mesopotamian and Anatolian Scythians, who were conquered and absorbed by the Iranian Sauromata." This must be the origin of the name Sarmatian, Sauromata. The association of the conquered with the conqueror, however, is common but still inaccurate. Excuse me. After this event, there occurred such a confusion in the minds of the Greeks concerning their previous northern neighbors that they applied the term to other nomadic or equestrian people with similar outward habits, including the Sarmatians, Huns, Turks, and later even Germanic tribes. So they just mixed them all up together with one word, Scythian. This progression only occurred over a long time when the term Scythian became a gross generalization of a horse nomad. Yet the original Scythians were not nomads and had cities, ships, arts, and trades, which the early Greeks admired. The later pseudo-Scythians often copied some of their arts and habits, but were a poor imitation of the original. Nevertheless, As much of the information we have about Scythians comes from Greek sources, we can try to give them a coherent interpretation, granting them credibility as founded on true facts. Okay, let me read the next couple here. I'll read till Plinius, and you pick it up from Plinius. Professor Chaba Hargita quotes some classic historians, Justinius. "The nation of the Scythians has always regarded as very ancient, though there was a long dispute between them and the Egyptians concerning the antiquity of their respective races. Trogus Pompeius, the Scythians possessed the land of Chaldea, Mesopotamia, for 1,500 years before any other nations, and they are the oldest people of the earth, vying with even the Egyptians with in ancestry. So here we was again, the Scythians here are actually being equated with the Sumerians, because the Sumerians were the first ones there. Okay, pick it up from Plinius, please.
All right, comment on Chaldea.
Okay.
That was Babylonian. They were populated by the Chaldeans.
Right.
That was Babel. The occupants of Babel were Chaldeans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they just had a country named Babel, but they were the people that were the occupants.
Yeah.
Were Chaldeans.
Well, last time we talked about Nimrod and the fact that that area was inhabited from the day of Noah's flood. Okay.
Yes.
So this is totally accurate here. 1,500 years before any other nation. So right up to this point, this is all very consistent. Back to you.
Right. This is Plinius, the Scythian nation by the Persians called Saka.
Hmm.
The Sake.
Right.
Okay. Isaac's son, Sake.
Right. Yeah.
Was kept at the closest nation to the Arameans of old. Well, Terach, Abram's father, was an Aramean from Aram.
Right.
Yeshua Messiah spoke Aramean. A lot of the Old Testament, quote unquote, and I hate to use that, but people will identify with it, is in Aramean, not Hebrew.
Right.
It's very similar, but the pronunciation is different and the spelling is different on some words. Okay. Who are the Scythians that these historians speak about? Not the Scythians of Herodotus or Diodorus Siculus that settled in present-day Ukraine and until the Sarmatians subdued them. Namely, the authentic Scythians of history, properly or conventionally defined as such, but another people that shared with those Scythians the same homeland, the Subarians.
Okay, that's a new one on me, Subarians. All right.
Right, here we go. I mean, this is we're learning from this too.
Yeah.
This is just fascinating. Let us consider the assertions of the historians reported above. They disputed with the Egyptians about who were the oldest and possessed the land of Chaldea before any other people. It is clear that these writers are indeed referring to the Sumerians, who were actually the oldest established civilization and dwelled in southern Mesopotamia, that is, Chaldea. They are also regarded as the closest nation to the Arameans of old.
Mm-hmm.
This must be understood not ethnically, but geographically, as it is known that the Arameans are Semites. Shemites. Okay.
Well, that's to be understood ethnically as well, because the Sumerians were not they're not Hebrews. Okay, they're not Shemites. They were there before the Shemites. So, nevertheless, they're all Aryans. Back to you.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
This term belongs to the later period, replacing the earlier Akkadians that were the first Shemites. Well, they're identifying them as Shemites that inhabited Chaldea. They're of Adamic stock,
right?
And they're calling them Semites because they're ignorant. they predate Shem.
Right, the Akkadians are not Shemites. No,
they
were there before.
Maybe the same racial stock, but they predate Shem.
Right.
That inhabited Chaldea and shared this land with the Sumerians. Therefore, these Scythians are indeed the Sumerians or their northern counterpart, the Subarians.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And they also include other peoples of the same region and roughly the same stock, like Hurrian Mitanni. Sarmatians in that period called Massagetas, Togarmans, and even Hittites.
Okay, there may have been some Hittites in there too, right? Right.
Well,
because you know, these people all kind of, you know, they lived in from what's called today Turkey, all across the Fertile Crescent, but not so much down by the what we call Palestine. So at this point, it's
right.
more like a boomerang of
and,
civilization.
Whole populations of these people, depending on economic and weather conditions, would migrate. If they had a famine and a drought for a couple of years, they'd move.
Yes, yes.
And yeah. they'd occupy another area that had rain and water flowing through it, et cetera, et cetera. They're the same people. They just moved.
Right, right. So I think the Massagetas are a reference to the tribe of Manasseh, which would have been later. So, but Sarmatians, Massagetas, you know, we're that's before the tribe of Manasseh. So maybe that is an older term. I'm not sure at this point, but please continue. This is fascinating.
They are confusing later populations.
Probably, yeah.
With the populations of that prior time. I've noticed that a little bit in here.
Right.
More modern populations. Well, earlier than that, they were not that population. They were a different population.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
When Abraham and his people migrated through India, they were white.
Right.
Now
yeah.
they are no longer white. They're mixed.
Right. Right.
Okay, but you can't call them Abrahamic people because the seed line has been mixed, and that's
right.
lost forever.
That's right.
So they're not looking at it through a CI viewpoint that pure blood is the key to identity.
Right, right. But this
they
is kind of
they don't have that concept that we
yeah.
have.
Yeah. So this is kind of a saying that the Sumerians came first, then the Akkadians. Basically, the Sumerians turned into the Akkadians, who then turned into the Chaldeans, who then turned into the Babylonians. Okay? So that's
yeah,
the progression.
Yeah, they're the same people. They just changed their name.
Yeah.
The population changed a little bit.
Right.
Political affiliations.
And maybe the language changed a little bit, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, okay. Look at the language change in this country.
Yeah. Right.
From when this country was founded to what we have now.
Yeah, right. Thee and thou.
What it is, bro. What it be like. Yeah.
Kind sir, please continue.
All right. There is still another people usually regarded as Scythian by many writers, the Askuza of the Assyrian Chronicles.
Okay.
And these are the Scythians mentioned by the Hungarian scholar Alfred Hamori in the following statement. I can't.
Okay.
Let's see here.
Syaxares, something like that.
Syaxares. Okay.
Okay.
Or Syaxares was
something
the next
like
Mede ruler. 625 to 585 BCE, before the Common Era, who organized with the Chalcaldean Nabopolassar an alliance against the Assyrians. Their attack was unsuccessful partly because the Scythians under Madyas sided with the Assyrians.
Yeah.
The Scythians were very well paid off, too. Given an Assyrian royal bride and the usual lands and wealth to go with it.
Yes. Okay.
Indeed, they cannot be the Scythians that were pushed by the Assyrians to withdraw as far away as Ukraine, but the Ashkenazi of the Bible. The Ashkenaz.
Okay. Again, Japhethites, yes.
Uh-huh. Whose name has been co-opted by the Talmudic
right.
pretenders.
Right, exactly.
Who were engaged by the Assyrians to guard their boundaries from Scythian plunderers.
Okay. So kind of like the rest of history, all these different tribes, they made allegiances with friends, then they became their enemies and made allegiances with some other tribe, and they were all fighting
just
amongst
like
themselves.
Today. No just like today. Today.
Right.
Just like
okay.
today.
Okay. That's why it's so hard to analyze all this history. Back to you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They were the forefathers of the Scandinavians and the Rus.
There you go.
And the Rus. Russia.
All right.
Okay. Though in an early period, they may have been closely related with the ancestors of the Hungarians, as it might be suggested by the enigmatic name of their leader, Magyas, a word that recalls the land of Magya, which will be mentioned later in this chapter as a name probably identical with Magyar.
Well, Magya is reminiscent of India. That's how it would be pronounced in Sanskrit. Back to you.
Magya, yeah, because the J is a Y.
Right.
Right. Let's see, where were we here? The land of Subartu was also the original settlement, of Japhetic peoples, including the forefather of all the Scythians, Magog. This region was ruled by the Sumerian king Nimrod.
Oh, boy.
As is written in Genesis 10:10-11, that he extended his kingdom over the region later known as Assyria. It is very likely that the Japhetic nations were subdued by the Cushite king. As the Armenian tradition also refers to their eponymous hero, Haik, son of Togarmah, another biblical name, as having delivered his people from the rule of Nimrod.
Interesting. Okay.
Man, this is getting deeper and deeper.
Yeah. I mean, this is really clarifies, well, basically, the division of tongues under, you know, the Tower of Babel, what we're discussing here is the various peoples and tongues that spread out from there. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. Over to you. Back to you.
Right. Consequently, it is not unlikely that Magog's folk were once under Sumerian rule, and perhaps the Hungarian Magor, supposedly son of Nimrod, is to be actually identified with Magog, son of Yefet, although belonging to a different lineage.
Okay, very interesting. All right, let me take it from here. There's a big paragraph here. Yeah. The land known by Sumerians as Subarki, or Subartu, was inhabited by the Hurrians, whose language was the oldest form of Sanskrit. Consequently, the mother of all Indo-European languages. Now, I've never heard that before either, that the Hurrians spoke Sanskrit, but that's certainly in the realm of possibility because we are talking about, Iran and the Hindu Kush are right next to each other. Therefore, the Hurrians cannot be directly related with Hungarians. Well, they preceded them by probably several hundreds of years. Yet they were not the only people in that region, and their tongue had also many words in common with Sumerian and Elamite that are agglutinative languages. Agglutinative. Not sure what that means. We'll find out. The Hurrites indeed were associated with or subdued by the Mitanni, who we found out last week were a northern Mesopotamian nation that only lasted a couple of hundred years, that became the Hurrian elite in the same way as the Chaldeans and the Magi in other states, as it will be exposed later in this essay. In fact, the same country was known under different names depending on the people taken as reference. In Assyrian documents, they are mentioned as Sapparda. Egyptians called them Magor. In Persian records, they are known as Sabarda. and Matien Mada. Well, there's a Mitanni again. Okay, so these words are probably just different names for the same people by other races. Okay?
That's right.
All right. While the biblical name Haran Karan is obviously connected with the Hurrians. Greek sources refer to these peoples as Sapir or Sabir, Makar or Magar, and Matien. All these terms point out to the denomination of two Hungarian tribes, Sabirs and Magyars. These two names, however, may belong to one and the same people that probably split into two branches. The Sabirs seem to be the oldest group from which Sarmatians originated, as they dwelled in a vast area from Central Asia to the heart of Europe. Indeed, the name Siberia, Sibir, is ascribed to them. Now, it's to go from the heat of the Hindu Kush all the way up to Siberia, only Aryans could do that. Well, actually, no, the Orientals can do it too. All right. But it just shows the flexibility of our people. We can live just about any type
all right,
of climate.
A question. Who was Haran or Charan? Who was he the brother of, where somebody sent his son to get a wife from his brother?
Yeah, for Isaac. For Isaac.
Remember that?
Right.
Yeah, boy, that all ties in, doesn't it?
It sure does. This is interesting stuff. This is interesting stuff. So it's great that the Hungarians have retained all of this history. But we've never heard of this history before because this hasn't been translated into English until very recently. That's why, okay? But also the Roman name of the western area of present-day Hungary was Sabaria. And was indeed inhabited by Sarmatians, Jazyk. The writer István Gyarfas, in his work The History of Jazkun, The History of the Jazyks and the Cumans, Volume 1, reports that the Greek geographer Ptolemy mentioned the Jaz dwelling in the present-day Szombathely, Hungary. The Jaz, Jazyk, were known by the Romans as Sabarians or Savarians. Byzantine documents concerning the Hungarian prince Termatsu from Arpad's lineage assert that the oldest name of the Hungarians was Szabartói Aszfali, recalling their ancient Mesopotamian name Szubartu, Szabirki, while Aszfali was the Arab name of the lower Zab River in Assyria. Professor Csaba Hargita suggests another possible explanation. If they were speaking of themselves in their own language, Hungarians may have said Aszfile Szavardok. That is a kind of Szabatarians. As it is an unusual answer, or I'm sorry, as it is an usual.
Sabartians.
Yeah, Sabartians. Martians. As it is an unusual answer to say, quote, I would be a kind of such and such that could be heard by the Greeks as, or something like, Asphaloi Sabartoi. So, okay, so the Greeks heard them say one thing when they were actually saying something else, which is how people's names get changed throughout history. Over to you.
Absolutely. In reference to the Mitanni, the northern Mesopotamian region was also known as the three names, Mada, Mata, and Madya. Not to be confused with Madai.
Oh.
The land of the Medes. See, he backs me up here. What did I tell you earlier?
Right. Okay.
That was beyond the eastern border of Assyria. The term that may be transliterated as Mat, Mad, Mad means country or district in Sumerian, Subarian, Parthian, and other related languages. And it was also used by the Assyrians and Egyptians with the same meaning.
Okay.
Notice that in those languages, the phoneme DH or DJ is equal to the modern Hungarian GY, and Megye is still distinct or province or district, district or province in Hungarian. Therefore, if the denomination has been transferred along the generations, the Magyars might be the ancient tribe of Mitanni.
Okay.
The territory of the Mata or Mitanni is referred by some Egyptian documents as Magor. There are many other linguistic evidences that prove the close relationship between modern Hungarian and Sumerian Subarian tongues. For example, in Hurrian Subar language, the word Tarshua means all the people, while in Sumerian, Shag conveyed the meaning of people as well as head or high. There are multiple meanings in Hebrew as well.
And in English, the same kind of
English
terminology.
In Hungarian, the combination of both is seen in Tarasag, that means society. Kotarazag is republic. Therefore, the Scythian component of the Hungarian ancestry was closely associated with the descent of the ancient Mitanni.
Okay.
Well, this guy can teach a college course.
Right. So it sounds to me like the Mitanni were simply a dynasty of these groups of people that lasted 200 years. And the dynasty changed because they made alliances with other countries, et cetera, et cetera. But essentially what he's saying is it's all one same people, the Indo-Aryans and their various offshoots as they migrated north.
Well, that's what happened when that big comet hit. It killed off all the dynasties, right?
Yeah, right. There you go. I'm just looking
They all became extinct.
Yeah. A common word here is mat. Mat in the Sumerian and the Hungarian here, but it's an Egyptian word. Mat, or two syllables, ma'at, refers to the ancient Egyptian concepts of truth, balance, order, harmony, law, morality, and justice. Ma'at was also the goddess who personified these concepts and regulated the stars, seasons, and the actions of mortals and the deities. Well, it sounds to me, what's the Greek word for order, the order of things, right? So that's what the word ma'at means, okay? So balance, order, harmony, society is kind of, ordered society is kind of what it means, all right? Yeah. So, should I pick it up from Sumer Chaldea here? We only have about 10 minutes left. This is going so fast. We're only about a quarter of the way through this article, but I'm inclined to go through all of it because this is so good. We're learning about ancient history that we've never heard before.
This is just packed with history. Go ahead.
Okay.
And I'll mark where we stop.
Right.
If we run out of time.
Okay. Herodotus asserted that the Sarmatians were the offspring of Scythian males with the Amazons. Legendary female warriors. Wow. And that there's a lot of books written about the Amazons, and it is quite possible that there were matriarchal societies in and among all these other patriarchal societies, because all these other societies we've been talking about were primarily patriarchal. But there certainly could have been matriarchal societies as well. And that Sarmatian women learnt the Scythian tongue, but the men could not learn the women's language. That's interesting. This is somewhat, they couldn't yak like the women. This is somewhat unlikely. Yeah, I agree, it's somewhat unlikely. Although it is known that in Hunan, China, a written code Nushu was known only by the women, who taught it only to their daughters and kept it secret from the males members of their family. I can see that,
They can talk among themselves, and the guys don't know what they're saying, so they can gossip all they want.
Yeah, gossip and plot the assassination of the father.
All the stuff that they do. But,
the way
a lot of these, like there's a coded language that this AOC is talking.
Right,
and I can't understand what the heck she's talking about.
Right,
and neither can anybody else that actually speaks English. She's just way out there.
Yeah, right.
But that's a topic for another night. Go ahead.
Right, yeah, for the end of days. It does not seem to be a spoken language, and in any case, there is no proof that such a peculiarity existed among Sarmatians. Nevertheless, but usually when you hear a legend like this, there's a ring of truth. There's a grain of truth in it. You know, I could see that women have their own language that the men don't give a damn about. You know, talk among themselves. You know, they're cooking, you know, homemaking. And maybe
gossip
they,
about the men.
Right, there you go. Nevertheless.
Bad mouth him when she's afraid.
Yeah,
to say,
right. The bad Malthian language. That's what it's called, the bad Malthian. Nevertheless, this assertion of the Greek historian may have been founded on an ancient tradition, which I just said. Why are you making me repeat myself? Connected with the legend of the Turul Hawk, or better, with the female protagonist, the princess Emesh. Interesting. It is interesting to note that Sumerians called themselves in their language Emegir, a word with apparent resemblance with Magyar, while their country was called Kiengi. Yet the Sumerian language was composed of two dialects, Emegir with the tongue of men, and Emeshal was the tongue of women. Wow. Identified respectively as northern and southern dialects. Professor Hargita proposes that it would be possible that the word Amazons might be associated with Emesh. That sounds likely to me. And the Emeshal language, Emesh and the Emeshal language. Therefore, the legend of the Amazons and their mysterious tongue may have been a Greek imaginative development of the Sumerian myth. Bowser, Bowser. Okay. The same figure may be applied to represent the Sumerian-Mitanni relationship, Emeshal, Emegir, Magya, as two counterparts of the early Magyar peoples. Again, it sounds like we're basically talking about different civilizations that moved north from Indo-Aryan territory and from Sumeria, which is to the south. They moved north. Their languages changed somewhat, and they had different dynasties, which is common among migrating peoples. As well as in Subartu, coexisted different nations of unrelated stocks. In Sumer emerged other people, the Semitic Akkadians. I don't get the Akkadians being Shemitic. I don't get that at all. Maybe it's an offshoot of a tribe of Shem that moved east, possibly.
It says, namely, the early Assyrians.
Okay. All right. So, well, the Assyrians were our people. They just moved north and became a very violent civilization.
Yeah.
And it was in Sumer where the forefather of the Hebrews was born. It was? It seems to me it's possible because the Hebrews did do some wandering, but that's not recorded in the Bible. The Hungarian-Hebrew connection begins in Ur of the Chaldees. Well, I mean, yeah, down there, that's further south. Ur HaKasdim of the Scriptures. Who were the Chaldeans of Abraham's times? Many scholars raise objections concerning the date of the Bible text because the Chaldeans, those of the Neo-Babylonian Empire, were still not in that area until the 11th century
BC. I think where he's talking about the forefather of the Hebrews, he's probably talking about Terach.
Okay. Okay.
Abram's father.
All right.
Because he was an idol worshiper,
uh-huh.
And he lived out there, and Abram left that country to get away from his father.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so that's possible that Terach, who was a Hebrew, maybe migrated.
No, he was not. He was not. Way before the Hebrews, the forefather
of
the Hebrew. He was an Aramee from Aram. This area is now called Aram.
Okay.
Sumer is now where Aram is, which is Iran.
So Sumer and Aram, again,
they're just different names for the same spot.
All right. Very good. Nevertheless, the scriptures say Ur HaKasdim, and the Kasdim of Abraham's time not necessarily mean the people to us known as the Chaldeans, but may very well apply to the Sumerians. On the other hand, also the name Sumerian has been arbitrarily given to them by others and not by themselves. and we have already shown how the term Scythian was used to indicate several different peoples. There are evidences.
Another point.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the verse in the scripture that we discussed where it says, a boar not an Edomite? Well, it's not an Edomite.
Right.
We did the study. A boar not an Arami?
Right.
Or he is your brother?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it actually says.
That's right.
And
that's right.
See, that's where they migrated and came through that whole area. Now, mm-hmm. the demographics of today is not the demographics of back then. They have changed the name of countries and territories, and the borders of such countries and territories are blurred over time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know exactly where the borders were or what the name of that particular area was back then. It may be called something completely different now. So that's what we need to keep in mind when we're reading something like this.
Right, right.
Because everything has changed over time.
Okay, I think I could finish this paragraph. We have about 3 minutes left. There are evidences that the term Kazdim or Kazdim referred originally to the Babylonians before the Chaldeans took control of the city in the 8th century BC. And only after Babylon became a Chaldean city, the older term Kazdim, also Kashdim, was transferred to the new rulers, or maybe only to a particular social class, as it will be shown later. Consequently, those whom the ancient Israelites called Kazdim may comprise more than one defined ethnic entity. Indeed, they may also be the Akkadians that were Semites as Abraham was. Okay, so maybe the Kazdim and the Akkadians are the same. Notwithstanding, Abraham is not identified as one of the Kazdim, but is called to leave the city where he dwelled that belonged to the Kazdim. He is actually called since the beginning Ahabiru, Genesis 14:13, never a Chaldean, and his brothers are called Arameans, as you just described, Genesis 25:20, confirming that they were Shemites.
Well, see, now he's got his timeline. They were not Shemites because Shem didn't exist then.
Okay.
They're using that term which predates all of that.
No, you're getting confused. Shem was the brother of Japheth. You're confusing
Shemitic Shemites. Comes from.
Right, yeah.
From the people of Shem that spoke that Shemitic language.
Right, right.
So Abraham was not Shemitic. He was pre-Shemitic.
No. You're getting it backwards. Shem is the father of Abraham. You got it backwards.
No, Terach was the father of Abraham.
Okay, we're getting to the end here. There's Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Okay? Abraham is a descendant of Shem. Not the other way around. You're getting confused. Okay? You're confusing terminology here. You did that last week too. All right. So, but we can go over this next week and actually confirm the Genesis account of the descent, the line of descent of Ham. Well, we don't need to get into Ham, but Shem and Japheth as it applies to this territory, which would really help clarify things. I think we need to do that next week. Okay.
Yeah, Brother Abear corrected me. Not enough coffee, Eli.
Yeah, right.
My bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're confusing the Hebrews with the Shemites. A lot of people do that, and get the descent wrong. All right, folks, this has been an outstanding delve into ancient history. We'll do more of this next week. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. We'll see you next time.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Let's see.
Boy, I buggered that up.